Welcome, everybody, to the Don't Go In There podcast, a true crime podcast with a paranormal twist. I'm Bill Reed, and joined as always by your hostess with the mostest, Ashley Ernie. This week, we'll be talking about the practice of table turning.
I am so excited for this episode. I don't know a ton about table turning, so I had to look up some YouTube videos, and it got me really psyched. So, guys, if you're like me and you want to know more, listen to this episode, obviously, and check out our social media. So Instagram is at underscore don't wait, what is it? It's Twitter at don't go in there three. Wait, I gotta do that again. So check out our social media. Twitter is at don't go in there three. Instagram is at don't underscore go underscore in underscore there. We have a Facebook page and group, so check it out. It's called Don't Go In There. Like the page, join the group. Our email is don'tgointhere19@gmail.com. And we have a website. The link is in our show notes because it's kind of long to spell out for you guys. But check it out. All of our episodes are linked on there now. And it's getting has our logo on there. It looks pretty cool. So go check that out.
Yep. Our episodes have also been uploaded to there. So if you're kind of sick of your platform you're listening on, just want to go to our episodes and listen to us on your desktop, they are available there as well.
Yep.
We're kind of off today.
We are. It's a night. But I'm going to say this first anyways. Go check out our Patreon if you can. It's one way to support us. We have three different levels to support. And each level you get a different reward. So go check that out as well.
Yep. And check us out on the anchor.fm platform. Oh my goodness, it's going to be a long one. And subscribe to us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Sorry, guys, it's finals week. I've had a long week of work. I've had some crazy people did it this week and today especially. So forgive me on speaking. But that also gets us into why I chose this. I kind of wanted to do something fun, not too long, not too in-depth. Like I said, it's finals week, and it's been kind of hectic at work. So I just did something fun, not too in detail, but I can't remember, Ash, what horror film I was watching where this is shown. And I can't remember. I can't remember if it's one of the Conjurings or if it's like one of the.
I would say it's pretty sure it's they have it in the Conjuring. They have it in an episode of Psych.
They do. yeah. But the horror movie I'm thinking of is at the beginning, they're attending a table turning, and one of the attendees debunks the whole thing, and then gets led to like a classic, you know, haunted house and thinks it's all a gimmick and he's proven otherwise. So that's what actually made me think of it. I don't know why I can't for the life of me think of the movie, but
The Haunting in Connecticut.
That's it. Yep.
Is it really?
Yep. I think that is it. It's one of those just naming scary I think it's movies. One of the haunting of movies. I don't think Something. It's The Conjuring, but I'm pretty sure that's actually it. But anyway, so getting into this, the sources I used for this actually was in encyclopedia.com. And I don't know if that's the actual like formal encyclopedia website, because a lot of people were bashing it for like actual topics. So like factual topics, but this had a lot of background into table turning. I found it pretty interesting. So since that's the business side of things, Ash, what do you say? Let's go in there.
Let's go.
So what is table turning? Well, I'm going to answer that for you, Ash, because I know you have a lot of questions.
I have a ton.
And I'm a pseudo expert on it. It is a form of psychic phenomena used during a seance in which a table rotates, tilts, or rises completely off the ground by just mere contact of the fingertips of a single person or like a group of people that would be around the table. There have also been extreme cases where the table has actually levitated without direct contact from a person. So before they can even touch it or after they're done touching it, table actually picks itself up off the ground. The table tilts, the way the table tilts can be interpreted into intelligent messages by relating its tilts to the alphabet. Almost like the Ouija board, but obviously they don't have a board. They've never really said how they relate each tilt to a letter or a message, but it has been said that like each table turner has its own way of deciphering messages.
I was going to say, kind of like how a medium or a psychic, they have their own signs and symbols. I bet the head person doing the table stuff has their own way of deciphering what their table's alphabet is.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. So getting into the background of table turning, it's actually said to be the oldest and simplest form of communicating with the paranormal world. I don't know where they got simplest form, but that's what they said. I would think that'd be a pretty in-depth thing to do, even if you are making it up.
Even remembering the alphabet would have to be...
Right? You have to remember which way the table turns, and if you screw up the message...
Like Morse code.
Yeah. In the 4th century Roman time, there was a table that was described with a...
Words.
Yeah, words, mouthfeels. In 4th century Roman time, there was a table that was described as a slab engraved with letters of an alphabet with a ring suspended by a thread above the table. So that's almost more like a Ouija board because you use the... it's not a leaf. I can't remember what they call that.
Tablet.
Is it called a tablet?
It's like a stone. Moses had tablets.
I think it's something with a P. Planchette, I think.
Oh, that's the planchette's the thing that moves on a Ouija board.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's what that ring kind of acts like. That was like this table that they described in the 4th century almost seems like a Ouija board on a table. You know what I mean? Because it has with the ring. And then the ring would swing over certain letters and create messages out of those letters, just like a Ouija board. Table turning, as we've seen it in modern time spiritualism dates back to the mid-19th century in America. So the ones that we see in like the movies like The Haunting of Connecticut, that dates back to the spiritualism movement of America, which happened in the mid to late 1800s and even into the 1900s. And it really got its momentum in Rochester, New York with the Rochester Rappings. I think that's how you say it, Rappings, which occurred in 1848 and was known as an outbreak of Rappings that occurred near, like I said, Rochester, New York.
Are you sure this is just a side note. Is the rapping supposed to be like a crime that happened?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's not supposed to be like raping, like all these series of rapes happen and then people turn spiritualism.
I don't have it
in front of me.
I sure hope not.
Okay, because I don't know what a rapping is.
I want to say it's rappening, but that would actually...
Oh, like maybe it's like a spiritual awakening.
Yeah, that's what I think. But there should be...
You can cut this whole thing out.
That would be terrible. We would be getting emails for days.
Yes.
We would pretty much be done after that.
Yeah, they're like, and thank you. Good night.
I'm going to say rappings because there should be an extra I-N-I-N-G-S for rappenings.
Okay, but when you say rappenings, it makes me think of spiritual awakening. But when it was like rappings, I'm like, are we sure we're not mispronouncing this? Okay, no, go ahead. Sorry.
It's okay. Now I don't know how to say it.
No, say it how you were saying
it. Okay, all right. If somebody wants to email us and yell at us, that's fine. This is not a serious episode. Like I said, it's been a long week. The popularity of these rappings were made by the Fox sisters. The Fox sisters included Margaret, Leah, and Catherine. And they were a family from Arcadia, New York. They claimed that they would hear mysterious sounds in their home, and that they said that they would communicate, that they thought these weird sounds were communications from the spirits that resided in their house. As they gained popularity, they began holding their own seances in theaters, you know, small venues, and then they would charge people for admission. They became some of the most famous, I think it's seers, or people that perform seances in American spiritualism, and it helped it grow to 1 million followers by 1855. So
that's crazy.
So just what?
That happened so quickly.
Yeah, just 7 short years, it grew to that many. And I mean, there was a lot of people in America, but not like there is today. 1 million people is probably a good chunk of people.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But wait, what's the time period?
It's 1855.
When did the Salem witch trials? I know you don't know this off the top of your head.
That was like 1400s, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was before we were even an actual country.
Okay, because it was just like blowing my mind how early this is all happening. Even still, like that time period, still kind of blows my mind that people were still open to all this, like a million people. And then yeah. I was like, wait, weren't we just burning people on the stake like a few years ago? But it was a few hundred years before this. Yeah.
So table turning actually became so popular that it did, not that it spread throughout America, but it also spread out through Europe. So in 1852, it was not common for an invitation for tea, which is, you know, very popular in Europe, to turn into a table turning session. So people would come over for tea, and all of a sudden it would turn into this big spiritualism event. People also stopped asking each other how they were doing, and the common phrase would actually be, "How was their table? How's your table turning?" Which is,
I think that's so funny.
Completely weird, but people were really into this spiritual movement. With all this going on, you know, ultimately there's going to be skeptics, and that's pretty much what happened. All these people. Millions of people were infatuated by this. You know, it was taking over countries and continents. So, you know, naturally, the attention of the skeptics were focused on it.
Well, you need skeptics, so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, if there wasn't skeptics, there would be people, I don't know, like ripping people off or whatever. But it's also good to say, like, there is this one person that doesn't believe. They witness everything. And then, you know, it's kind of like gives you that concrete proof, like,
yeah,
this is happening beyond our explanation.
We would probably still be believing in whatever the cavemen believed. You know what I mean? Because no one's challenging anything.
Yes.
Beginning with the skeptics, we got into, there was actually research was put into this. Scientists and doctors began to worry about people's mental health and formed a committee to find a non-spiritualistic explanation of table turning. The committee reported in the Medical Times and Gazette on June 11th, 1853. Just a side note, I did try to look this up. And it did have an article from this magazine on that date, but it wasn't this article. So I don't actually know if this is the exact date, but it's old. That the phenomenon was due to unconscious muscular actions of the participant. So what they're saying is you're making the table turn and stuff, and you're not even meaning to do it. Your subconscious is actually doing it.
I could see how they could say that.
Yeah.
Because you're so focused because with your hands on the table or whatever.
Yeah, you're not even knowing you're pressing on the table.
Yeah, because you know, like when you get scared and you start to like tense up.
Yeah. Soon after, a chemist and a physicist named Michael Faraday performed experiments using a simple apparatus to demonstrate that the movements of the table were in fact moved by unconscious muscular action, just as the article states. I feel like Anne when I talk like this.
I was going to say, did Dr. Debunk just come on this podcast?
I probably should have had her come on and explain some of this.
We actually should have had her and DJ Debunk just do this whole episode.
Yeah, we should have. It would have saved me a headache.
And then at the end be like, you're wrong.
You're basic. So the apparatus was constructed of two thin wooden boards with little glass rollers in between them. The boards were held together with rubber bands, or if you're from Western PA, with some gum bands.
Gum bands.
This would allow any lateral pressure on the upper board to slip a little way over the other. Two other investigators, Count Agnier de Gasparian and Professor Mark Thury of Geneva, butchered those. These two found that the movements were a result of the force radiating from the operators. This explanation was named eccentric force. Other investigators found that people believed that they were pressing downward, but in reality, they were pressing in the direction the table was rotating. It's a lot. So,
yes.
Let's go back over that a little bit. So some of the investigators believe that people thought they were just, you know, you're supposed to lightly press down with your fingers. But they're saying that when people are thinking they're pressing down, they're actually pressing the table in a direction other than down, left, right, towards them, forward. The other one, not real sure.
The eccentric force.
It
almost sounds like a trick table.
Well, no. What he built was to show that when you press down, the table moves differently than what you think. Okay, so with the rollers and everything, he was showing that a table can be manipulated to seem like it's doing something different.
Got you. I thought he was saying that some of the tables were built like that. Like, you know, people were building these fake tables to have these table, whatever.
I'm sure that was part of it, but I couldn't find anything on that. But I think he's saying the glass rollers are able to show him how just pressing a little bit this way or a little bit that way can actually move the table.
Got it.
And then the other two, the count and the professor, are saying the movements were a result in force radiating from the operators. I tried to do more research on it, but these people are physicists and chemists. So when you try to Google them, all that comes up is like their more important work, not their work on table turning.
Yeah, they're like, this was just a side project.
Yeah, we were told to do this.
This is our pro bono work for the day.
We're just going to remind you guys, this is just
a fun podcast.
A fun podcast. I didn't have time to do my research. I'm childish.
Calm down, Ireland.
So, although these were high-ranking members of the science community, the public ignored the conclusions of the experiments and continued to believe in the spiritual explanation. However, some of those who believed did not exactly agree with the movement. Evangelical clergymen, insisted that the practice was satanic. Reverend Godfrey Gilson, that's a freaking name.
That is.
I think he talks like this. I'm Godfrey Gilson. And others held a seance in which the spirit confessed themselves to be a spirit of an evil person, They had ones that the spirit confessed to be a demon, or even accounts it was the devil himself. These experiences caused a reverence to denounce the whole practice. So they loved the notion of spiritualism, but then they started seeing, I think what happened is people started leaving the church. That's probably what happened, to do their own probably. Spiritual findings. So they started to denounce it to keep people from leaving.
Yeah, because everyone leaves, there goes all the money.
There goes all the money. And the boy touching. I'm sorry, shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. There were...
Yeah, but watch Spotlight and say otherwise.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Back to the podcast. There were also... We just lost like so five many. Of our 20 listeners.
Yes.
There
my
were
mom's all... gone too.
There were also researchers trying to prove that the table turning was real. One such researcher was Gamalier Lamarion. People got to name him just like John Smith or Bill Reed. That's a good one.
There you go.
He performed experiments that gave quite the weight to his opinion. So what he was able to do is kind of align his explanation with what the skeptics were saying. But what I can tell is he explained that the rotation, tilting, and levitation were caused by forces and waves from the body. So what he's saying is people were maybe unconsciously doing things, and it's not spirits, but it's actually the waves and energy that the people performing the seance are giving out. So the table's reacting to our energy and not our fingertips.
So that makes sense, because if you say like spirits are energy and they use our energy to communicate through us, and like, you know, they drain our energy to, you know, make devices work, like lights turn on and off, why wouldn't they be able to use our energy to make the table move?
Well, I think what he's saying is that there's not even spirits involved.
What he's saying
is it's our energy that we're reacting to. So we're taking the spirits. The table's reacting to our energy. But we're blaming it on spirits.
Oh, I thought he was pro spirits.
No, he is.
Okay.
What he's saying is he's not. I wouldn't say pro spiritualism. He's saying that the table turning is working, but not because of people moving the table, but there's energies that do it. But not,
oh, got it.
Like the seance-ees, I guess you would call them, their energy is moving the table, or the energy is making them move the table. So their energy is making them do things. I believe that's what I'm seeing. It was really hard to research because he had so many like scientific experiments that had nothing to do with this, and I could not pinpoint any of these down. If anybody else looked at this encyclopedia entry and is able to decipher this better than I can, please do. We would love to hear it, and if you do, we will definitely put it up on our, you know, website. We'll publish it, and if you can make it sound better than I can, I'm just a dumb cop, so. I don't know. So
sounds good. Sounds good.
The most common procedure followed by the sitters, I guess that's what they call themselves, was to start. I guess I should say what we're going to get to now is kind of the way they would perform the seance. So the most common thing they would do is start and sit in a circle around the table. They would lightly put their fingertips on the leaf. So that's like, I think that's the thing. Not everybody uses something to read, like to move on the table. A lot of people use the table, but some people do use these. Everybody puts their hands, just like the planchette on the Ouija board. They have this thing called a leaf. The lights are dimmed or completely off. According to some, if there was somebody there of psychic powers attending the seance, then the table would slowly start to show animation. The first sign usually was shaky hands from the attendees, and then the table would sometimes start to pulsate with energy, mysterious energy. After the table stopped vibrating, it would enter a new stage where it may begin to jerk, tilt, stumble, or maybe even become entirely levitated. It was theorized that these movements would represent a letter of the alphabet. The messages would be spelled out by the table, tapping, tilting, strange sounds, or even using kind of that leaf thing that we talked about. Each of these spirits had a certain way of communicating and were oftentimes recognized by the sitters. So if you attended somebody's seance multiple times, people started realizing, hey, this guy does this every time, so this must be one spirit, or he does it this way, this must be a different spirit. Some would climb up people's legs to show affection, while others may have an extreme case where they felt they were getting chased around the table in a hostile manner.
That's so insane.
It is generally assumed that, you know, the tables are being moved by unconscious muscular action or nervous energy that plays a significant part. But there's no denying that this is a huge community in spiritualism. I'd love to get into an episode of just that movement itself. It seems like a really fascinating time, especially with how it got all those people involved so quickly.
Yeah, it was very rapid.
And I think most of it has to do with, like, the 1800s were no joke to live, you know? So people wanted to grab onto something positive. And if it meant talking to a dead spirit to make yourself feel better, who is to judge? You know?
Yeah.
But today there is, like I said, there's still a large community that still practice this table turning, and other methods too. Like we talked about the Ouija board, divining rods, that got brought up as well. And that's a whole different other, we see that on Ghost Adventures all the time. He walks around with his divining rod back and forth.
Are they the rods that you hold one in each hand and yeah. they're like, and they're bent L-shaped and they move left and right?
Yep.
Oh, John and I used those in Gettysburg.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
They were pretty cool.
Yeah. So basically,
sorry. I was going to say, no. But it's the same thing with the rods with the table. Is that you can, like, unknowingly move them. And some people in our group were doing it, and they're like, it's a ghost. And the guy's like, no, it's your hand. They're hard to master.
Yeah, and they are. And I was, you know, what I really wanted to find was they did have these people that went around and would debunk psychics at their own seances in the late 1800s. There's many stories of them. I couldn't find anything about table turning, and I really wanted to put that in there. But I'm going to do some more research on that, because I think that in itself is another topic that's not discussed a lot.
That would be super interesting.
How these people went around debunked psychics, basically calling them out as a fraud. So, I mean, that's pretty much it on table turning. I thought I was going to be able to get a lot more. I was wrong. But if you guys are interested in it, there's a lot of videos on YouTube. I mean,
watch the videos on YouTube. They are insane. But there's also Ghost Adventures does this a couple times in a different of their investigations. I know I watched a couple episodes, and before they do lockdown, depending on whatever it is, they've done a couple table turning events, and each time they had different reactions. Like, you could see the table moving and all this stuff. I don't know. Part of me wants to do a table turning, like be a part of it. And then parts of me, like, I don't ever want to touch a Ouija board. Part of me is like, I don't think I ever should sit at a table.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. There's two things I'm scared of: being disappointed and getting too much.
Yes. There's a very fine line.
I want that happy medium where I get a little spooked, but that's it.
Yeah, I would rather do the table than the Ouija board.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But, yep, that was just our short little episode on table turning. Things will start to get back to normal here next week, whenever final week is over.
Yeah.
And I get some, but I have to go right back in the summer semester, so.
Yeah.
So, I guess.
But I liked it. It was nice and lighthearted. Yeah, we did some nice, pretty very heavy episodes.
Yeah, I just nice, lightly researched, just said some shit, threw it against the wall, see what happens.
But I liked it because I don't think I've ever listened to another podcast that talked about table turning.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm sure there's a lot of information out there if I, you know, went out and got some books and stuff. But it's going to be, a lot of this is going to be learning how to table turn. I'm not going to teach you how to table turn because I don't know how to table turn. There's not going to be a lot of background on it. So if you guys want to go out, I don't suggest it just because there's always that potential. But, you know, you can always learn and look into it yourself. And then if you do, let us know how it goes. If you've ever attended one of these, please let us know. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Email us. Don'tgoin there19@gmail.com.
You can also hit us up on our social media.
Yep. Twitter @don'tgoin there3. Instagram @don't_go_in_there. And Facebook page and group, Don't Go In There. So if you ever attended one, let us know.
Yes, please let us know. I didn't even think about that. That'd be awesome.
That'd be really cool.
Also, don't forget to look us up on anchor.fm or subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you get a moment, leave us a review. You don't even have to write anything. Just leave us whatever star you think. Obviously, five and third. That would be great. You don't have to write anything. Just leave us a review. It truly does help get our podcast out there for people to listen to. So, Ash, you got anything else?
No, that is it.
All right. Well,
that was a good episode.
Yeah. Well, until next week, guys, remember, don't go in there.